Welcome to In-Depth, an in-depth look at the interesting, educational, and timely topics affecting you right here in South Central Iowa and beyond. The one to count on for today's local news coverage is KNIA and KRLS. Now with today's In-Depth, here's Dr. Bob Leonard.
What does one U.S. Senator think about the nomination of Amy Coney Barrett to the Supreme Court? Let's go in depth with Senator Chuck Grassley from New Hartford. Senator, how are you?
Can you hear me okay?
Yes, I can hear you just fine. How are you doing?
Oh, very good. I got back last night, and I'm going to have to be here Monday, at least through Thursday, on the hearings on Barrett. And then I don't know about next week. Right now, we're scheduled to be in next week, but it wouldn't surprise me if they canceled it because of the election.
So this is a historic day, the first day in the hearings for Amy Coney Barrett to be moved forward or not to the Supreme Court. How do you think it's going so far?
Well, very good, but I think the next 2 days where each of us get 30 minutes and then the following day 20 minutes to ask questions is going to be more decisive. Right now, what I hear is basically political statements or justification for hearing, for having the hearing now instead of after the election, and also speaking about the qualifications of the candidate.
Well, I've been listening in. I haven't heard a lot about the qualifications of the candidate yet. I've been tuning in and out. I was expecting more of that, I guess, but I guess I don't really know the pattern of these things.
Well, I think you get more about what she believes and how she's ruled and people's interpretation of how she has ruled in the 3 years and the 100 cases she wrote on the Seventh Circuit Court of Appeals. More of that stuff's going to get down in the weeds quite a bit compared to today's hearing being more general comments by everybody.
More in depth after this.
I continued my conversation with Senator Chuck Grassley. To tell you the truth, I'm surprised that we're having this hearing at all after our conversations in 2016 about you opposing President Obama bringing Merrick Garland forward 9 months before the election. You wanted the people to decide back then, and you said to me, I don't know how many times, and to the public in general, that you wouldn't be in favor of President Trump bringing a nominee forward during the year before. And now here we are, 22, 23 days before the election, and here is the nominee come forward. I would never thought that this was going to happen after our conversations and your commitment.
Okay. I know I'm going to give you a historical answer, and then I'm going to give you an answer to your question about me personally. The historical thing would not apply to what I am going to say about my own personal position. But just so you know where people like McConnell are coming from, that 11 times we put people on the Supreme Court when the President and the Senate were of the same political party. And the last time that it happened otherwise was way back in 1888. So McConnell would say that we had a Democrat president and a Republican Senate in 2016. Now, what you're referring to is what I said in 2016 at innumerable times at my county Q&As. Because I had people that, and you may have been one of them, that was dramatically opposed to what I was doing at that particular time. So people would say, well, if you're chairman of the committee the next time, would you hold a hearing? And I said no. So and I repeated that at least a couple times since 2016. And if you remember what I said, if I were chairman of the committee, I wouldn't be doing it. And if I were chairman of the committee today, we wouldn't be having this hearing. But I'm not chairman of the committee, and Graham decided that he wanted to move ahead, even though he said similar things to what I said as recently as 2018, I believe. So I'm a member of the committee, and I've got to represent Iowans in my job, and so I'm here doing it. But we're having a hearing because Graham has a different view than I have.
Yeah, and I've heard his logic, and I think he doesn't think a lot of the American people. I don't think he thinks we're very bright, because to me it seems that either you all were wrong in 2016, or you're wrong now, or you may just as well as admit it, or he may as well just admit it, that it's all about power. It's one of those things. It's wrong in 2016, wrong now, or it's all about power. And why not just admit that it's about power?
Graham knows my opinion, and then the divided government that we had before and the historical precedent of it, I can't do any more than just lay it out and say if it's power, and let's put it this way, you know and I know that if it was reversed, we had a Democrat president, Democrat Congress, that the Democrats would be moving ahead too. So if you're willing to admit that it would be power if things were turned around the other way, then I'm willing to admit it's power now. But I'd rather think in terms of what I personally can do as a United States Senator and what I promised I would do in 2016 if I were chairman of the committee, but I'm not chairman of the committee.
More in depth after this.
I continued my conversation with Senator Chuck Grassley. Did you step down for that reason, to avoid the potential of this, or for other reasons?
If you want me to get in the weeds, the reason I took the other chairmanship is this, that I had two more years to be chairman of the Finance Committee, because we can only serve 6 years. And with our being in the majority, I wanted to make sure that I used up that 6 years. And I knew, and under the rules of the Senate, I still had two more years I could be chairman of finance. But if we are in the minority next time, I still got two more years I can be ranking member. Listen, I said that wrong. I had to use up my 2 years because we were in the majority. But if we were in the minority in 2021, I can be ranking member, or if we're in the majority, I can be chairman of the Judiciary Committee. So that's what dictated my taking chairmanship of the Finance Committee.
Well, let's just play out this scenario that you laid out before, where if I'm willing to admit that the Democrats would do the same thing in power, that it would be about power, and you'd be willing to admit the Republicans are. I guess I'm cynical enough these days to think that it could well be that both parties are just about power and that's what they're going for. But if we admit that, then where are we? Where do we go from here?
Well, you're probably talking to the wrong guy. I never think of my position being a position of power. You can say I'm naive and that you've got it figured out 100% right. But I just think of what I can do for the people of Iowa. And I may be chairman of a committee, but I haven't always been chairman of a committee. And maybe I won't be chairman of the committee if the Democrats take over the United States Senate next time. And I'm still going to have to represent the people of Iowa. You can say whatever you want to, but I don't think of my job as power.
Well, that's interesting, and you've never really spoken to me. I mean, we've just had a lot of honest conversations over the years, and I don't see you as you know, power hungry. But ultimately, a lot of this has to be said about, it has to be about power. But let's move on from that. But why not just let the people decide? People are voting. Why not just wait until we know whether we've got a President Trump or a President Biden? Unless it's about power.
The only way I can answer that question is based on that history that I've given you. And every president has nominated when there's been a vacancy, and even Obama nominated when there was a vacancy. He wasn't expecting to wait until the next election.
No, I understand that, and you and Senator Mitch McConnell were the ones that stopped him. I think that President Obama should brought his candidate forward, and I think President Trump should have brought his candidate forward. But here we are with these very different outcomes, where last time it was let the people decide, this time it's not.
Well, I think that the difference is a divided government in 2016, and we don't have a divided government today, and I told you about 11 precedents for doing it when we had a didn't have a divided government. When we had a divided government, it didn't happen, except in 1888.
You've taken great pride over the years. I haven't heard it so much said recently about the Senate being the world's greatest deliberative body. I'm reading things now about how the Senate is broken. Is the Senate broken?
Depends upon whether or not you want to force bipartisanship. If you want the Senate not broken, then do away with the filibuster. But when I go around to my town meetings, people always say, why you guys can't get along? Then I try to explain to them how much worse it would be if we didn't have the filibuster, because the institution of the Senate forces bipartisanship. So if you want more bipartisanship, You've got to have a situation where you require 60 votes, because you've got to work out something between Republicans and Democrats or you don't get anything done.
Would you predict the outcome of this hearing? Are things going to go forward, you think? I mean, is she going to be on the Supreme Court?
I can only tell you what Graham said. He's going to go through Thursday of this week. Then our rules and our committee have a one-week layover. He wants to vote her out on October 22nd. And then I don't know whether McConnell has said anything publicly, but I think that Graham knows what McConnell wants to do. And I think McConnell wants to take it up immediately on the Senate floor after it's voted out of committee on October 22nd.
It's funny, once you've reached a certain age, you've seen a lot. And I've seen, in the past, where this candidate, which in my understanding, Amy Coney Barrett, is within the normal realm of conservative thought. And 20, 30 years ago, that would have been enough. It's a conservative president. He should be able to make his nomination. And the same thing for other presidents that were Democrats, when people could be Scalia and Ginsburg could be voted on unanimously. We're not going to ever get there again, are we?
It's kind of been that way since roughly 2002. And I don't have time to go into the history of it, but if you would go back from 1789 to 2002... You would find that no justices were filibustered, except somebody would point out about Senator Fortas under Johnson's administration when he was going to be made Chief Justice. But there were ethics issues that came in, and he was, in fact, there were a lot of speeches against him in the tradition of the old filibuster, where he actually had people speaking against him. But he would have never got more than 48 votes anyway at that particular time. So having said that to you, then what happened in 2002, It started with Schumer getting Larry Tribe, Professor Larry Tribe, before some meeting of the American Constitutional Society, which is the liberal brand of the Federalist Society, and said that we got to start doing everything we can from a political standpoint to get politics, or let's say, I'll use the word politics into this. So that's why we had a massive number of George Bush's circuit court nominees filibustered. You remember one, Estrada, had 7 filibuster votes, and then after 2 years he said, I got to make some money. If I'm not going to get on the D.C. or on the Supreme Court, I'm going to go practice law. So that's kind of where it started. And I don't know their justification, except they had the authority to do it, and with 60 votes they got the job done. Now, you see, if it had been anything different than that, Clarence Thomas that got on the court in 1991 or two, 52-48, he would have never been on the court. It was a whole different point of view at that time. Now, some people would take you back. I said it started in 2002. Some people would say go back to the Borking of Bork. But I think Hatch turned that around with Breyer and Ginsburg, when he was chairman, or he was ranking member of the committee at that time. It may have been Democrat controlled, but anyway, he said we got to get away from what was done to Bork and what was done to Clarence Thomas. Get this back to where it was. So during the Clinton administration, it was back there. But just as soon as George Bush presumably stole the election, Democrats were going to make sure that George Bush's nominees didn't get the same treatment.
Now, as you are on the Senate floor and you're on the hearing and you're watching this, you're listening, you're processing it, do you ever think about the significance of the event and history and your legacy?
No, I don't have anything to do with my legacy. And if I worried about my legacy, I wouldn't get my job done. I'd be doing things for personal reasons. Maybe one more question, then I got to go.
I guess there has to be a sense of history. I mean, one would think that. Or is it just business? You're just engaging, trying to do your job?
It's the latter. But if it were the former, it wouldn't be history about the future. It would be history of the past, because you got to know the history of the past to know what your country stands for and what you should do in the future. And when you're talking about tomorrow, there's something in the Bible that don't worry about tomorrow. God will take care of that.
Well, thank you, Senator.
If you want a citation, I'll have my staff look it up for you.
Thank you, sir. Thanks for your time.
Goodbye.
Bye. Thanks to Senator Chuck Grassley for contributing to the program.
For KNIA KRLS News, this is Dr. Bob Leonard bringing you today's news and information in depth from our little corner of the universe.
An audio copy of today's in-depth program is available at KNIAKRLS.com on demand or for download. Just click podcasts. If you have topics or show ideas you'd like to hear in depth, contact KNIAKRLS by sending an email to Bob Leonard at KNIAKRLS.com. The one to count on for today's local news and the number one news and information source in South Central Iowa is KNIAKRLS.